grab the triple header. Call the boys.
I don't like rustlers touching me. Except for Savio Vega. You know what I mean?
That's the name of the game, man. It's wrestling.
Like Savio, dance with him.
Here's the Faye here. And his manure silo fell over.
You don't put manure in a silo. Low blows, no Nards plows.
You're trying to watch the high school hockey tournament. You had no idea where the fucking puck was. Now I'm the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. Power slam.
Power slam. Well over 1,000 pounds of sex there.
Don't you fucking call Bobby B the tutor.
Got a couple loonies laying around.
An aggressive hug and they both took a back bump. But two jabs with four strips.
Why are you holding up all the titles?
Somebody's knocking at the door. Who could it be?
A pirate, and a dentist, and a flying bear, and the king. Like, that's what you give him, Brett.
You gonna say she takes off her shirt?
Oh, yeah.
I'll let her pin me to the mat.
He looks badass. They come through the front door.
This man can't get through a door.
I'm sure he's sad every time he looks in the mirror because what he's done to himself and what he's become.
We hear Jimmy Hart screams, pleasure. Up.
Power slam!
Power slam!
Power slam!
What are you doing?
This is one that I'm already hard for, just so you know. I got full chub.
Apple pie in the World Wrestling Federation.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Ray Wrestling Podcast presents...
You're of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke, the Dumpster Bags.
Handsome Kevin.
And today we're covering WWF In Your House 3 Triple Header.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the first thing you thought of, too, when they said triple header?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, just a giant rubber three-headed dick, right?
I mean, I didn't imagine what it might look like, but I mean, got the idea. Yeah.
What do you mean? You didn't imagine what it would look like?
Did you have a sketch in your mind, like what it would look like?
No, I mean, I didn't have a sketch in my mind. I just, you know, if you think about it, it's just really like it's like the middle, right? So that's like the axes, right? And then you got three dicks off the each side of it, I guess. Right.
Yeah, I bet you could find one at your local sin shop.
Yeah, almost like a tire iron that's missing a piece.
All right, yeah.
Right, that makes sense. They really love the triple header. I don't know why they called it a triple header.
Well, all three of the championships are on the line, man.
Right, but three championships being in one match isn't necessarily a triple header. Like, triple header is like three in a row, right?
Typically, when we're talking like events on the TV,
right, that would
triple
be like
headers,
three in a
back,
row,
back
yeah.
to back, yeah,
right, double header, right. But I suppose in the world of sex shops or sin stores, like you called them, they take on a whole new meaning, right? Because if you walk in to your local, you know, erotic retail establishment, and you say, "I'd like a double header," you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
If you ask for a triple header, you know what you're getting.
You think it's a like a T type of thing?
So I actually think the way it's going to look is going to be more like, you know what a peace sign looks like?
Yep.
Yeah, just take the circle off of the peace sign. That's more what I envision the apparatus to look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the first time ever, man, all the gold's on the line. So I guess triple header was the best they could come up with.
They need to you know think more a little bit about it.
Do you got a better tagline for an all the gold on the line type extravaganza?
All the gold on the line. What do we got? We got Big Daddy. We got Yoke. We got Owen. We got HBK. We got the IC, the world, and the tag belts. All the belts are on the line. One match. One match. Four men. All the gold.
You think that would have put some asses
or
in the
why
seat?
Don't they just use that? Why don't they just do a gold thing, you know?
Like gold all the gold's on the line.
Or no, you have to say on the line, right?
Just all the gold?
One match, everything's at stake.
That's to the point.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't leave you guessing like triple header.
No, because then you start thinking triple header.
Right.
Yeah, your mind wanders.
We can't be the only ones who, you know, that's where our mind went to.
I wouldn't think so. Knowing the demographic of our listeners, I think a lot of guys out there they're saying triple header a lot. I'm going to go grab my laptop.
Go grab your triple header.
All right, go grab the triple header. Call the boys.
Yeah, so this son of a bitch took place live September 24th, 1995, from the Saginaw Civic Center in Saginaw, Michigan. And that sucker is still erect, man.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
What do they do there these days?
They play ice hockey.
At the Saginaw Center? Is it a university type of a thing?
I think it's like a minor league facility.
Okay. What's their team hockey name? The Saginaw Starships?
Maybe the Seminoles?
Saginaw Seminoles? Nah, probably not Seminoles. That was more of a southern type thing. Saginaw Sturgeon?
I mean, you would think it would have to be an S.
That makes the most sense almost always is the alliteration.
But of course it's not. It's the Saginaw Lumber Kings.
Okay. Lumber Kings is pretty good. If you weren't going to use alliteration, I am glad you went with Lumber Kings, because Lumber Kings is badass.
That's a pretty good name.
The only way it could have been better is if they were the Lumber Daddies.
Right. Yeah, that was our last in your house was the Lumber Daddies, yeah. Lumberjacks. And so far this season, the In Your Houses have been the best shows, so I'm hoping the trend continues here.
Easily the best shows.
I got a few highlights for you, man, in between the last show and this show. I mean, of course, Lex left, but, I mean, who cares about Lex?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
So we got Razor Ramon on a losing streak, and the Duggler gave him an MF grade for miserable failure.
It would have been great if he gave him the motherfucker.
So those two will face off tonight. And then the feud between the Hitman and the Pirate's been heating up. But most importantly, man, that legendary Superstars theme made its debut.
Nice.
As well as Doc Hendrix's Slam Jam Live Event Center.
I don't know about that.
As you know, it was his studio or whatever you want to call it, where he always, you know, was hocking the goods.
Now I know what you're talking about. I didn't realize that they called it the Slam Jam Live Events.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called it an event center. That's pretty bold, but...
No. Look more like a pawn shop.
Yeah. So the lyrics of this first iteration are... Diesel Cool, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Heartbreaker. Bret Hart, show him how. Look, here comes the bad boy now. Dean Douglas, Go to School, Hunter Helmsley's Blood is Blue. Psycho Sid, Dangerous Man, Bulldog... English Fed. Check out Mabel's threads. Don't trust what Mercy said. Hakushi's flying. Yankum's smiling. Vince is trying. Jerry's lying. Are you ready?
That's it, huh?
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. Interesting.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's going to change. We'll keep you updated.
Multiple times, yeah.
But I forgot about a couple of them. I forgot Waylon was in there.
Yep.
And Yankum. And the last one was either Jerry's lying or whining. I couldn't really tell.
One of the two. Okay.
Either would be accurate. But yeah.
I listened to it because I obviously have been watching Superstars as well. And what's the line right before Bulldog?
Psycho Sid, Dangerous Man.
And they went Bulldog, English Fed?
Yeah.
That's not good. There's a dip in the song. It's that.
I always thought it was Bulldog, Englishman, right?
But so did I. That's what it sounds like.
But they apparently didn't want to rhyme man with man.
Were you? But, did you have the closed captioning on?
I believe so.
Okay, so you know this as a former closed captioning guy. They're not always on top of things, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, when I was trying to figure out what Jerry, if he was lying or dying or whatever he was doing, like I tried looking up the words, and there are a couple different versions of the words.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's an official transcript out there or not, but
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Good song, though. All in all, good song.
Not yeah, always got you pumped up.
Always.
Also on Superstars, Duggler made his in-ring debut, defeated the Kid after Razor interfered. And finally, Triple H came down to face Scotty Tuati following a Henry Godwin match where he gave the slop to DiBiase.
Okay.
And the game couldn't get over the stench, so he retreated backstage.
Beautiful.
So we got four dark matches on this one. Make a Difference Fatu defeated the game in the first one.
Okay.
The Man with the Voice welcomes us. So we get a hot toddy video package about this triple header happening where all the gold's on the line. So either the two dudes with attitudes will be the tag champs, or HBK or Big Daddy will lose their gold. Got a new In Your House song. Sounds like it's being sung by a lady in kind of a old school R&B type of feel.
Yeah, a little Motown action.
You like this one or the last
this is
Country
much
In Your House?
No, this is much better.
I like that they're putting effort into it, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Vince welcomes us. He's joined by Jerry the King and JR this time. First time we've had a three-man announced team. JR predicts that Yokozuna is going to be the IC champ. But the King thinks Owen's going to get it, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Owen's going to get it, and King's going to give it to him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Man, we start off with a couple of your favorites.
Yeah.
Savio Vega taking on Waylon Mercy.
And it's funny, too, because like Savio comes down, right? He's fired up. I love it. Great song, right? Got that music. He's all dancing around doing Savio stuff.
High fives, dancing.
Yeah, man, yep. He's great. Right, loves. He's a superstar. He's a megastar.
Happy to be Savio. There.
Of course he's happy to be there. And then they kick it to a Waylon Mercy, like, promo. Pre-recorded comments. And the pre-recorded comments audio starts before the picture shows up. And I had to, like, figure out whether or not these pre-recorded comments were part of the song or if they just had their heads in their asses. Turned out they had their heads in their asses.
Yep.
But, like, when I first watched it, I was really confused because when you hear Waylon Mercy come out, like, his music's playing, and then you hear his voice. You don't see audio of this video package. You just hear him say, "I don't like wrestlers touching me." And I was like, it's like, is this part of the fucking song? Is this fucking part of his music?
Because like that's the weirdest type thing.
That's the weirdest shit ever to have in your entrance music. I don't like wrestlers touching me. That's not the right thing to have. And right,
well, that's part of the gig, man.
It could be part of the gig. Well, it's what okay. So you're with me on this then. Being a wrestler, you're gonna have wrestlers touching you, right?
That's the name of the game, man. It's wrestling.
Right, and it really throws you off because then at that point, it takes a second. You don't really hear what he says after that. And then the audio or the video package shows up with the audio package. He's like, and if they do, I'm going to squash him. Like this worm. You know what I mean?
What is happening? You just killed an innocent worm for no apparent reason.
Because you don't like wrestlers touching you.
Stop it, Waylon. And I like Waylon.
He wanted to send a message.
I like Waylon. But by killing a worm, man?
He's a sick man.
Yeah, but that's just a worm. That's not Savio Vega.
Well, no, he's getting his shot at Savio now, though.
Right, but if he was like, I don't like wrestlers touching me, except for Savio Vega. If he touches me, I'm going to smash my own worm. Oh, yeah? Know what I mean?
Like, that would work, right?
I see if Savio Vega would like to touch my worm. You know what I mean?
Any of this, yeah, right? Maybe you get sexy with it.
You know, I could see maybe if he was feuding with Goldust, right? Give him a taste of his own medicine.
Oh, so it's got to be a lady.
Where's Bertha Fay? Like to give her a cinnamon churro. Know what I mean?
Like maybe something like that? Does that work for you?
Sure.
I see Vince there at the announce table. Looks like he's got a heart on. Know what I mean?
Anything? Like any of that working? Right? Anything?
I mean, what's he trying to get accomplished here? What message is he trying to convey?
It's kind of inconclusive.
I thought with what he went with, like, you know, gonna crush you like a worm or whatever.
You thought that was good. Okay.
Well,
I guess I was reading too far into it, and I thought, like, the worm was a metaphor for his crank.
Yeah, you just went straight to the gutter.
Not the gutter, man. It's a metaphor.
Well, sure.
Yeah. The worm, right, it's on his arm. And he's like, my worm is as big as this here forearm.
It's a big worm. Know what I mean?
I'm having fun with this now.
You think that works as an intimidation?
Wouldn't it, man? If your worm were as big as your forearm, wouldn't that be pretty intimidating?
I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
Might get some forfeitures.
Yeah, I was going to say, good luck getting a gal to be like, hey. You'd have to get one of those Gertha Fays. Bro, you should call your dick Gertha Fay. That's funny.
Gertha Fay?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, plus you're feminine, so it works.
Gertha Fay here.
No, you're supposed to call you Frank that now. You're right, because you're a dick. I got you.
Man, what do you think of his getup, Waylon Mercy's?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't necessarily love the white pants, but that's who he was. You know, that was his gig. I do like that he came in the ring, and he offered the handshake, and then he started like Savio dancing.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty kick ass. And I was like, Savio, dance with him. You're a superstar. You and Waylon could get to just form this awesome like dancing alliance, and then they could both be vigilantes. That would be nice.
That would have been an interesting team for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very simpatico, but I would have liked it. Two guys I like, so maybe that's what matters.
Looks like he's got like a tattoo of a sword on his forehead.
Yeah, it does. It does. I don't know about that.
It's a interesting look there.
Ah, he's a swordsman. Back to the worm.
Right. Man, your guy, El Vigilante, Savio Vega, he manhandles the big fella early on. And Mercy finally gets some offense in, throws Savio to the outside, slams him on the floor. And back in the ring, he locks in a unique kind of headlock where he's got Savio's head in a cutter position.
Yeah.
Don't see that one too often.
Yeah, he's a little bit of an innovative man.
He follows it up with a stun gun that doesn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah, I didn't like that because Vince is like, oh, his knee buckled. And King right away is like, fucking no, it didn't. It's a fucking offensive move, you dipshit.
You just missed the mark.
Right. Like, that part to me, I think, bothered me because, like, his knees were bad. Mm-hmm. At this point, like by the time he made it to the Federation, his knees were pretty much shot. So, like for Vince to be like, oh, his knees buckled. I love that King stepped up and he was like, no, they didn't buckle. Why don't you jerk off when Sonny comes out again, you schmuck? It's Waylon Mercy's knees are strong. They weren't really strong, though. You know, it felt like an inside baseball type of a fucking smack in the mouth. I didn't like that.
Well, Doc is standing by. He's got some breaking news. Says that Owen Hart isn't here, and he doesn't know what the repercussions will be. Meanwhile, Mercy, the Southpaw, locks in a sleeper. You like a spivey sleeper?
Yeah. In fact, you know how much I liked it? I made a note.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Said it's a good sleeper.
Savio breaks it, connects with a suplex. King seems real bothered with Savio's SV shaved into the back of his hair.
Well, he doesn't have the SV this time. He's got the hang loose hand.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No more SV, huh?
Well, not this time out. This time he's got the, you know, the hang loose. Or the phone. Could be the phone. I guess it depends on positioning of the hand, right? Like this, it's kind of hang loose. This right. is more phone.
The Shaka, the phone.
Right. Shaka bra.
Shaka
answer,
bra.
Answer the phone. Shaka bra. Sideways. Answer the phone. Upside down. Go fuck yourself. I'm hanging up the phone. But yeah, that's what was on his head. He had the you know, it's party time or hang loose, whatever the fuck it means. I don't know. The Shaka Bra.
King's not a fan.
Well, why would he be? He doesn't know shit about Shaka Bra.
No. And Savio does a nice takedown / stroke pin combo. It's not enough to put Waylon away. He gets out of it, connects with a brainbuster. But Savio will not be denied. He hits a German suplex and a spin kick, picks up the win, and ends Waylon Mercy's undefeated streak.
Man.
What Vince calls a tremendous upset.
It was not a tremendous upset. Savio Vega's a superstar. Mercy ain't bad. I like Mercy. I hope we get a lot more of Mercy. When Mercy hits the brainbuster on Savio, chuckled, because JR in the background, you hear him just go, "That's a brainbuster, Vince." And I don't know if he was being a prick, but I thought it was hilarious. So that's a brainbuster, Vince. Like, yep, sure is.
He gets sent back to Doc. He's there with James E. Cornette, Yokozuna, and Gorilla Monsoon.
Great segment.
So Jim's trying to let Monsoon know that Owen is here somewhere. Monsoon don't buy it, though. Says that the people aren't getting ripped off and that the triple header is happening one way or another.
He's here. He's here, here. Here. Well, not here, here. Not in the building, no, but he's here. Loved it, man. Corny is a genius. I know some people have issues with him. The guy is a fucking wrestling genius. I love it. He said, like, nothing in this promo, and it meant everything to me.
Yeah, man, we got a serious situation.
Yeah, we sure do.
I mean, granted, Yoke is about the same amount of mass as Michaels and Diesel, so it's kind of even in that way.
Yeah, that's
I fair. Wonder if that would be an option, right? If Yoke could take them both on, and if he wins, he gets all the gold.
Didn't no, that's not a big.
Didn't even give him an option.
Should have gave him the chance.
Yeah, we'll see how that unfolds. So next up, we got Sid taking on Henry Godwin. Last weekend on Superstars, Sid got slopped. He got some revenge with a P-bomb on the floor. King says it's been a bad week for the Bitters, Arkansas native. And his manure silo fell over. That would be
manure
a bad
silo?
Week. Yeah,
you don't put manure in a silo.
I suppose you probably don't, do you?
No, you put your you put your oats, your grains, that type of shits. You don't put your you don't fucking put manure in a silo.
Maybe you're doing Bitters, Arkansas. I don't know.
I don't know shit about farms, right? I don't know the first fucking thing. Not a farm man, but I know that you don't just load up your silo and dump. What the fuck?
Well, it tipped over, I guess. So that's a big mess.
Well, I suppose if you load it with shit. Instead of your grains, right? Which I'm pretty sure that's normal. It goes in a silo as grains.
I think you're onto something there.
Now here's the okay. Well, what about this though? Because silos that aren't being used, right? Old silos generally house many birds. So over time, perhaps it fills. But still, that's bird shit. That's not manure. No matter what way I cut it up, it ain't gonna work.
JR calls the slop. Arkansas goulash. Can we get a close-up of the bucket? So Henry's a good guy now.
He is a good guy. But the slop got grosser. When they did that close-up, it didn't look like a Cobb salad anymore or a chef salad or anything like that. It was pretty bad. It's pretty rough.
Yeah. We get a slobber knocker here. After a few big moves, Henry's back starts to give out. Ted shows his worth out there, puts some boots into the back of the farmer. And Sid connects with a pair of double axe handle smashes from the apron to the floor. Continues the punishment in the ring and locks in a camel clutch. And I notice here that we got Dangerous Danny Davis officiating.
Not
he got reinstated at some point.
Yeah, he had to have. It was important.
Good to see him back.
He's got to get back out there. Man's got to work.
Sid goes for a boot in the corner and misses. Follows it up with a second rope double axe miss. Godwin makes a comeback. Nails that slop drop reverse DDT, but then DiBiase breaks it up. That was about to be a big upset there. Hogg goes off the ropes, gets tripped up by Ted. Sid connects with a P-bomb to get the pin and the win.
I don't know, man. Sid, he was, you know, kind of top of the card, and now he's kind of working his way to the bottom of the card. I do want to tell you this, and you might hate this take. There's probably a lot of people out there that are going to hate this, but you know what I think? Slop drop, better than the Scorpion Death Drop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. See, because the Scorpion Death Drop, right, pulls him back, hooks the arm, drops down. But Stinger takes like a back bump when he drops it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But slop drop, same type of a setup, but Hogg kind of leans into him. So he's got weight coming down on the guy that he's hitting the slop drop with. And it's got the same amount of kind of suddenness when he drops. So there's not really a big disconnect between those two. But the difference is that Hog's coming down with all that Hogg weight. Stinger's not. I mean, which one do you take?
I like a slop drop.
More than a Scorpion Death Drop.
Yeah, I didn't like the Scorpion Death Drop as like a finisher.
Right.
Sting had a lot more iconic maneuvers than that.
Right, right.
But, I mean, yeah, it's a bigger guy driving down some more man with him to the mat there.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like, Jake Roberts DDT versus, you know, almost anybody else.
Pretty much anybody else's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had an idea in case you said Scorpion Death Drop, because you kind of surprised me, and I'm happy that you did. Because if you would have went Scorpion Death Drop, I was going to be convinced it was because of the face paint.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just the mysteriousness of Stinger. So then I thought maybe we could paint Hogg's face. Like, you know, when you go to, like the zoo or something like that, and they got the face painters, and they paint you up, they make you a tiger or anything like that. Figure if we make Henry O a hog, and then you stop drop him, maybe that'll work.
That would be something. I'm trying to imagine. He's kind of a tough one to imagine with the face paint.
Yeah, yeah. I think he would kick somebody's ass if they tried to, you know, face paint him.
I think his cousin Midian later on had some face paint of some sort.
A little bit. Not thick, but it was there.
So is this too much, Ted, for you in this one, or was this the proper amount?
It was a little too much, Ted. A little too much, Ted. Once, maybe, you know, because he attacked him on the outside too. When he gets slopped. It was pretty funny because it's like he had a fucking branch hanging out of his hair for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Ted gets the slap there.
Yeah, the branch made me laugh a little bit, you know, because Kama comes out. It was a whole mix up there at the end. But that was actually, you know, now I think about it, that was actually really well done timing-wise. Because he's got,
at the end here?
At the end, yeah. Yeah, I was okay with all of that. I was okay. The match I didn't necessarily love. I did like Hogg's performance though. Hogg was pretty good.
Yeah, it was kind of a melee at the end there where Bammer came out and Million Dollar Corporation guys came out, and then Henry intercepts the bucket, gives it to the Million Dollar Man, and he's got that, you know, Arkansas goulash all over the Armani suit. We're sent back once again to Doc Hendricks and Gorilla with James E. They're arguing in the back. Monsoon says the match is going ahead, and that James E. can find himself a tag partner for Yoke for one night only. Cornette says he'll find somebody. I mean, that's a hell of an opportunity.
It's a great opportunity, and I love when Gorilla's great, but the interactions between Gorilla and Corny, I want to hear those two on commentary together.
Oh, that would be a good team.
They play very well off of each other. And when he's like, I suggest you get going, and Corny's leaving, he's like, I suggest you get going. And he just storms off. It's fantastic, man. It was really good. And the way that Gorilla's like, yes, that is, what does he say? The privilege afforded of this type of match type. So that would be the privilege afforded to the participants of the match. And like, so Corny goes from like, what the fuck? And he goes, what am I going to do? Pull him out of my arm? They played off each other fantastic, man. It was great.
Yeah. Sometime between, the end of our first season and this season, Monsoon has become the president.
Yeah.
Jack Tunney, I don't know if he lost his reelection campaign or maybe passed away.
No, I don't think he passed away, but that I think that I probably would if it was between the two of them. Gorilla's going to get my vote.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Next up, we got the Bulldog taking on Bam Bam Bigelow. So the Bulldog's gotten a haircut since we've seen him last, and he's got a big gold robe. What do you think of that thing?
Then why not?
Doesn't really go with his color scheme, but, being the red, white, and the blue.
Yeah, but he's wearing the gold here.
You like the gold robe with the red, white, and blue gear?
He's got the gold on his trunks.
So is he wearing gold on there?
Yeah, he's wearing the part gold trunks.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. You do need to get your glasses checked.
It works, man. I guess.
Yeah, you definitely got to work on that. I didn't realize that they fucked with your color. I thought it was just like hard to read and shit. But you can't see colors and shit without your glasses?
I might need to get back in there.
Yeah, you got to work on that.
We're showing the Bulldog's heel turn against Big Daddy last month on Raw. Bammer's out there fresh off a melee at the end of the last match. We're told that Bulldog's getting the Undertaker tomorrow on Raw, so tune into that.
Yeah, why not?
We get a split screen to see Cornette trying to recruit Sid to the team. I mean, Sid and Zuna, that sounds like a pretty formidable team.
Problem is, Sid's part of the corporation.
I suppose that's like a heel stable alliance type of situation. Well,
yeah, but you got to respect, other clients. Other people got their clients, right? You got there's a level of respect between. You can't just be like, hey, I'm managing this guy. And I know that you already have representation, but what about maybe I represent you too? You can't do that, man. You got to respect who's representing who.
Even with the world title on the line?
Even with the world title on the line. Because here's the problem. Say Sid's like, yeah, I'm in. Now Sid's got to explain to Ted that tonight he's going to go back out and he's going to be on Corny's team. And then say Sid wins. Then that's really a big butt fuck, because then what's he going to do? When I was with Ted, I'm nothing, but now I'm a champion. Right? It just doesn't work. It's not good, man. It's not good business.
Oh, he might have to leave Ted, man.
You can't do that.
I mean, Ted's covered in slop. He's not what he used to be.
Well, through no fault of his own.
I think you getting a title shot, man, how can you turn it down?
It's hard to turn it down. It's hard to turn it down, but there is something to be said for loyalty.
I suppose.
There's that old song, stand by your man. That's about Ted DiBiase. And Sid, it's about the relationship.
Well, never thought of it like that. Well, back in the ring here, we got Bammer missing an elbow drop. Smith locks in a chin lock. Follows it up with a suplex. We get Bammer making a comeback. But he goes tumbling over the top to the outside. Bulldog attempts to suplex the beast back in there, but ends up getting his nard straddled on the top. We haven't seen a whole lot of Nard shots of different varieties this season.
We have not, no. Which I think is that when we do see it, it's going to really fucking matter. So I'm kind of excited because we haven't seen many. None at all, really. Like, there's been no real low blows, no Nards plows, nothing like that, right? No kicks to the ding-ding. No donkey dick kicks, nothing like that. So when we do get one, it's going to be pretty amazing.
It's going to be special.
Yeah, you gotta save that shit. You can't just have it every fucking match, three a match. This isn't Dying Days WCW. This is fucking 95 WWF when WWF is on the come.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the guys in the booth start plugging that WrestleMania 11 special coming up on Fox.
Oh, piss me off.
You told me you caught that one, right?
Yeah, no. No.
You didn't catch it.
I tried to catch it, man. I caught the very fucking end of it.
Oh.
Because I think I was convinced it was on Channel 11. So I kept the TV on Channel 11 like the entire fucking night. Was not going to miss it, right? Locked in. I knew it was 11. Swear it's 11. I was like, no. change, check another channel. Why would I check another channel? I know it's an 11. I'm not going to change a channel. I'm watching some bullshit movie. Then finally, I was like, well, it's over now because this is when it's supposed to be, whatever. Flipped the channel one down because 11 to 9, there was no channel 10.
Mm-hmm.
What do I see? Shawn Michaels taking a corner bump. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Cave's like, watch your fucking language. I'm like, oh, fuck me, Dad.
Did you catch the big LT shoulder block?
No. I did. Because LT went on last, right?
Yeah, that was the main event.
Yeah, so I did see that.
Yeah, it's still a bummer, though.
Because I remember that's what I saw, which is the guy, kaboom, turn the channel, corner bump, Shawn Michaels. And I was like, partly I was really, really fucking pumped. But part of me was super disappointed, man.
I hear you, man. It wasn't like today where you can just, rewind or, select to watch it again.
Right, yeah. These kids have no idea.
No, man. I mean, when we watched the Superstars, it would be tough to watch it today. At least with the reception I was getting.
Yeah.
With the UHF. But you did allude to something, how you would take the TV outside sometimes.
Yep.
Those UHF channels came in better outside.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kids have no idea the struggle. Just getting a clear picture.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it's not in, super fucking Blu-ray high definition, you're like, oh, I can't even tell what's going on here. You know how hard it was when you were watching it on a fucking 13-inch screen, and it was black and white? Or you're trying to watch the high school hockey tournament, you had no idea where the fucking puck was. You fucking kids. Golly. And I think that plays into it. That's why I hate the younger generation. I hate them all.
Kick them all off the lawn?
Kick them every... Fuck them all, man. They have no idea the struggle that we went through just to fucking enjoy a wrestling match. Right? Now they're like, oh, he didn't do a fucking 720 Hurricane Rana flatliner. That's not real. All right? No. That's not real.
No.
It's not a genuine experience. Put on your VR headset. Oh, look at now I'm the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins because I got a VR headset. You know what? In our days, we had two fucking buttons, and Dan Marino was the goddamn quarterback, and that's the way it was. All right? We wanted to watch Bammer and fucking Bulldog, right? It's what you wanted to do. And sometimes you got lucky, they'd show you some replays on Superstars if you could get the channel in because you had to bring the TV outside and set it up on the front steps, fucking kids.
Yeah, man. I remember getting the highlights on the Superstars. Like, you had to tune into Superstars the week after,
You had to, man. It was a must.
Man, back in the ring here. Nice kitchen sink by Bulldog. I always like seeing a good kitchen sink.
He had one of the better ones, too.
Yeah. I get a USA chant going. Bulldog goes for a slam, but falls backwards. He goes for a sunset flip, gets sat on. Looks like Bammer wants to finish him off with a moonsaw, but he misses. And then the Bulldog goes upstairs and connects with a questionable headbutt of his own. Hits a power slam, gets the pin and the win. Mr. Bizarre. British Bulldog.
It was fine. There was nothing in the match itself that really made me pumped. I like both the components. I like Bammer. I like Bulldog. I did like the what was it called? The power slam. What was that shit called? Power slam. Power slam.
Power slam.
What was that shit called? Power slam. It's a new song I'm working on for Bulldog entrance theme. But he like got it off a rebound, which is kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. The power slam. So it's like a late 80s jam, right?
Well, it's too bad the Bulldog is not around anymore to use it.
Oh, shit, that's right. He's never going to be able to use my new Kick-Ass theme tune for him.
Should we give him a moment of silence?
Man. A moment of silence, power slam.
Power slam.
In the grave, power slam. I don't have a lot to it yet. It's a work in progress.
Power slam's a good hook. Power slam.
Yeah, you can talk power slam. Really, it's all I got so far.
He had a good power slam.
Yeah, he had a great power slam. It's just more of a delivery right now. But if that delivery comes to your door, you're signing for that package.
Power slam?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, man.
That's what I'm saying. So what were we doing again?
Moment of silence. The bizarre, at times, always good power slam, British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith.
Power slam.
Power slam. Moment of silence. You got some Bulldog on the shelf there?
Yeah, so check. I got plenty of Bulldog there, man. I got Bulldogs from different eras.
Over here. Oh, yeah? So you got the tag team Bulldogs?
Yeah. No, I don't get the Bulldogs.
Oh, just the one.
Yeah, just the one. Just the one, yeah.
Well, Vince tells us about the Superstars line. This is pretty good. We got Henry Godwin and Ted in the back on the Superstars line, and Ted is covered in slop.
And slop's not bad, yeah. So I figure if I were to call up in this situation, that was one of the first thing I was asked. I'd be like, hey, Hog, is your silo really filled with shit?
Yeah, and if so, did it tip over?
Right. You'd want to know.
Yeah, I would. I mean, Ted, I love the commitment to the bit, but don't you hit the shower?
No, he's got duties, man. He's got to get on the Superstar line.
Which one of these guys would you want to talk to?
Are they both in character?
Of course.
Hog. Because I feel like I'd learn from him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He knows all about, you know, being on the farm, farming, you know, implements and such.
Yeah, I'd be able to learn something.
Yeah. Ted, I mean, he'd probably teach me. I don't know what he'd teach me about. You never really knew how Ted made his money. He just had it.
Probably stocks and bonds.
Could have been. Maybe it was handed down.
It could have been, too.
You know, he didn't do shit. What's he going to teach you? Nothing.
He could teach you a no-look elbow drop.
Never worked, though.
No, I don't think he ever hit that one.
Yeah, I don't need to learn shit that's not going to work. I need to learn real shit, how to plant a crop.
Right, or slaughter a pig, right?
I'm not going to learn that, man.
I think that's his thing, man.
Yeah, but I'm not slaughtering anything. I can't kill anything.
So you're just going to stick to the crops?
Yeah, yeah. Wheat, grains, that type of stuff.
I gotcha. Oh, man, this has to be another highlight for you. So Uncle Bobby B shows up.
Yeah.
Comes out to hail to the chief. Vince talks about his pending run for the presidency. He's got a book, and he gets on the mic and asks the crowd not to exacerbate him.
Exacerbate. Not exacerbate.
It's not a V, man. It's a B. Unless Bobby's making up words, yeah.
It sounded like he said exacerbate.
Oh, he must be making up words.
Okay. Exacerbate?
Yeah, exacerbate.
So, it's, interesting. Exacerbate.
Yeah,
masturbate.
Well, exacerbate, that means to make something worse.
Interesting. I could, you know, listening to him, and I think I even wrote it down, exacerbate with a V, because I didn't know what the fuck, you know, he's using all these different languages, carries around a dictionary, not different languages, different words. So it's like, I'm not super familiar with exacerbate, but I wrote it down with a V, because it sounded like a V.
What do you think of his pitch here?
I love it.
You love
the fucking,
it, huh?
The fucking plebeians. He's out there. He tells him you have to accept challenges in your life to advance your life. You know why? Because acute limitations will become chronic limitations. Talks about you have to learn how to walk and crawl and read and learn your ABCs and eat and all this stuff. And then he introduces Dougler from the University of Knowledge. And they could still get away with this shit back then. Like, the internet wasn't like full on booming in everybody's houses. So not like everybody be like, hey, go look up the University of Knowledge. And even if you did look up the University of Knowledge, the internet was still not like a super, like, on-the-spot Johnny thing. So even if you typed in the University of Knowledge, you don't know. You can't trust it. It's the internet. It's new. It doesn't have all the knowledge.
This is before Google or...
Right. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, man, that's a good... Being from the University of Knowledge, I'm not 100% sold on, but for the time, not bad.
Sure. Yeah, this is an alliance I didn't remember Bobby being the Dougler. This had some potential, though. So Uncle Bobby is 46 here.
Boy, he still had another title run at him.
Well, I mean, he had to be 45 or 46 when he beat the Hitman last year.
He still has another title run. Yeah, he should have.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. So Dougler's taking on Razor Ramon. Got some clips highlighting the feud so far. Dougler gets on the mic, says he came here to teach the bad guy a very harsh lesson. If he hasn't done his homework, it's a test that he's surely going to fail.
So on Dougler's robe, real scholarly robe, right? Not bad. But it's got the exclamation point on it.
Yeah, that confused me a little bit.
Yeah, and it's also on his tights. And I like that Dougler is, you know, a man of knowledge. A man of higher education. I just don't know that that's necessarily the route that I would take. Give him some figs and stuff like that, right? That type of thing. Or just make it kick ass. Better.
Mm.
You know, I could put like a fucking knowledge crest on him.
Right, right. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the exclamation point, but
yeah, neither was I, man.
He's got the blue gear. He's got bad guy out there in the red gear.
Yeah, it kinda exacerbated me.
Made it worse for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how he introduces Razor.
That is kinda nice, yeah. It's fun.
Introduces his opponent and loser, Razor Ramon. Dougler's in the baby blue singlet. We got several headlock, head scissor reversals to start it off before Ramon hip tosses the Dougler over the top to the outside. Here we get a split screen with Cornette and Yoke attempting to recruit King Mabel.
They don't like each other.
No, I mean, that's a potential team of well over 1,000 pounds of sex there.
It really is. And you would think that they would see each other and be like, you know, like, what is it? What do they say in the streets? Game recognizes game. Like, you would think they'd be like, fat recognizes fat.
Be a tough team to beat.
Right. Yeah, let's go beat the fuck out of these guys and have a funnel cake.
Have a couple of funnel cakes.
They probably have quite a few funnel cakes. Yeah. And they are not saving any for later.
No, no. Lawler calls it the Battle of the Bulge. Oh, yeah. Dean goes for a crossbody, gets caught in a fallaway slam. Razor goes to work on the arm, and every time the Duggler tries to get something going, he gets put back down. Lots of classic Vince 1-2 and he got him.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of them in this one. And the guys in the booth are debating whether the book that Backlund has is a dictionary or a thesaurus.
You know, it was very funny, too, because Bobby B is just sitting in, like, a chair in the corner. Which is kind of nice.
Sure is.
Yeah. But, and this is fucking juvenile, and I know, but it still made me laugh. Vince says, the tutor's on the outside. And I was like, Vince, don't you fucking call Bobby B the tutor. I don't know why it got me, man, but it got me right in that funny spot.
Well, that's kind of a compliment, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the tutor, yes, but not the tutor. The tutor is on the outside.
Oh, right. Some enunciation, right. Perhaps.
Right, right. Yeah. The tutor is who you don't want at the dinner table.
Right, right. Try to stay away from the tutor.
Right. Which Bobby B is not the tutor. He's the tutor.
Could be.
No. Bobby, not Bobby B.
Man, Bobby B, he's cheering on his man. I don't know if this lasted or not, but we'll find out. This alliance of knowledge. So the Duggler, he likes doing that roll into the ring to count, to break the count bit that you like.
Yeah, it's breaking it the
several
count.
Times.
Oh.
And then Bobby B gets out of the chair and gets down on one knee. Never seen anything like it.
He's amazing.
Unusual stance.
He's amazing. He's so good.
They get a double axe from the Duggler from the top. Good looking aerial assault. The guys debate what grade the Duggler should get for his pay-per-view debut. I give him a pretty good grade, I think. He does a deal where he jumps over the bad guy, catapults off the second rope, and connects with a splash. Nice balanced offensive attack. Gets a camel clutch in there. Ramon gets out of it, lifts him up to do an electric chair drop. I see a Bob for Prez sign in the front row, so his message is getting across.
It should, yeah.
That's good to see. Then we get a nice overhead suplex throw by Ramon. Duggler connects with the flying body press from the top, but gets rolled over by Ramon for a two. And then Razor bonks referee Tim White. Backlund's trying to revive him. The Duggler goes for another one of them fancy catapults, but misses. Razor answers with the edge. And then Kid comes down. Counts the three, but he's not an official, and Razor's pissed. I'd be pissed, too. That was kind of a weird move.
Why? He's trying to help a buddy.
But Razor thought that was the official making the count.
Well, that's not Kid's fault.
Kid should have done the old number where he grabbed Tim White's hand, right?
Would have been more
slapped
helpful.
The mat.
Yeah, but I mean, so the you know, the his heart was in the right spot, just the execution wasn't proper.
He should know he's not a licensed official. He's got no authority to make the three.
What if he was wearing an official shirt?
Like a Jimmy Hart type of situation?
Yeah, yeah. I guess adjacent to a Jimmy Hart WrestleMania 9 sitch.
That didn't count, though.
Yeah, so there's examples already that didn't play out. Again, you know, the
precedence.
Yeah, the idea was there. He just the follow through just wasn't what it should have been.
Razor, he's all pissed. Tosses the kid out of there, and Duggler rolls him up. a handful of tights to get the win. Big win for Douglas. Ramon gets the kid, throws him in there, they square off, and then we got a caravan of officials to break up the former friends. A
couple of things on this match. Dougler, he goes for that, like, running to the corner, like, twisting Vader bomb type move. He goes to the well on that a couple of times. And I don't run the well dry on that. Just don't run the well dry.
Mm.
Kid and Razor, when they get in their post-match tussle, it was very funny because at one point, Kid goes to shove Razor, and it looks like Razor sidesteps him, and Kid almost falls right out of the ring. And I love Kid, but I think I would have loved him even more if Razor sidestepped him and his bitch ass went all the way to the floor. That would have been great. You know, because we're not at the split yet. We're not at the full-on split quite yet.
Oh, we got to be getting close, though.
I mean, there's definitely some dissension here, but again, Kid's just trying to help. Let the motherfucker help.
He threw him off his game, though.
Yeah, but again, Dean just rolls him up. It wasn't even like a crisp roll-up, either. It looked pretty loose.
He had that leverage, too, with the handful of tights.
Yeah, I mean, raise your arm.
JR says that the Dean Douglas is destroying this friendship. I don't think you can blame Dean.
I don't think you should.
Vince throws us to Doc, but instead we get a hot toddy promo hyping up the next In Your House up in Canada. We're going to get the debut of the Bizarre Gold Dust, and it's going to be live October 22nd in Winnipeg. And we get to Doc, who's selling the Sean hat and glasses combo for only $25 plus $3.95 shipping. And if you call tonight, you're going to get a classic WWF video for free.
Man, that's a pretty good deal.
25? Oh, yeah. It doesn't tell you what classic video it is, though.
Could have been anything, man.
Is that more intrigue for you?
A mystery bag is always more intriguing.
If you don't know what it is, yeah.
Yep.
That is a pretty sweet deal. Sean and Diesel come into the scene, and HBK talks about being in love with a chick who's batty in the head.
So dumb.
Yeah, he's talking a little quick. Big Daddy smells a rat, says it don't matter who's taking Owen's spot. At the end of the day, it's going to be, the chaps with two chaps with four straps.
Yeah, it'll be two chaps with four straps. I don't like when he's got this way about him when he delivers those lines that it's just like overly yuppie. And I know he's doing it on purpose, but it doesn't make me like him anymore. And I like Big Daddy, but he's like, and we're going to be a two chaps with four straps. And then if you look at fucking Doc, he's got this giant ass smile on. He looks like Monterey Jack from the Rescue Rangers.
He does. That is accurate. Especially with the Sean cap on.
Yeah, and his big ass fucking smile. He looks like Monterey Jack. It was too much.
Man, didn't Double T have to wear that Sean gear?
Yeah, when he was HB Double T.
On one of the Lizard shows, yeah.
Yeah, I think he did it for a month, actually.
Oh. Man, I wonder what that would be today, like the pack. With the cap and the shades.
I don't know, yeah. Good question.
So nevertheless, we got Bret the Hitman Hart. Up next, he's taking on Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Man, the pirate comes out to a sort of like kind of Taker Mankind Goldie sort of moody number.
Yeah. Not really like that.
I would think that, he'd be better suited for like an upbeat, rowdy pirate tune.
Yeah. Give me some swashbuckling jams.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if they had they probably had a band on the ship, right?
You think they have bands on the ships? I don't know if they did or not. I think all they did to keep the spirits up was drink the spirits. The pirates were very well known for that.
For the Schwieland.
Yeah.
So the pirate, he's been stealing Hitman stuff lately. Comes out, he's got his jacket. Brett's in the back, says that jacket's special to him. And it's time for Pierre Lafitte to walk the plank.
Bad fucking promo by Brett. He calls it Captain Hook versus Captain Crunch. That's how he opens it up. It's like, it's Captain Hook versus Captain Crunch, and I'm Captain Crunch. A fucking cereal? Why don't you be Captain Kangaroo? At least that motherfucker served. That motherfucker was in Vietnam. Captain Crunch is a fictional character off of a goddamn cereal box.
Maybe he's talking like Crunch, like Bone Crunch in action, right? Like he'll slap you in that sharpshooter and crunch
you. Sure, but you know, anytime you say Captain Crunch, your head goes right to the berries, man. They don't go to the bone crunching.
No, it's a pretty good cereal, though.
It's been a while since I've had Captain Crunch cereal.
It's above average.
It's no Blueberry Morning.
Well, I mean, there's only one of those, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And we see Hitman walking out through the front door of the house. Glad they still got the house set out there. Hitman starts off fast with a suicide dive, a.k.a. a tope.
It was
the jacket off the pirate.
It was fucking awesome. The camera work on this was beautiful, too. Beautiful, because he came running full speed, and you, like from where the camera was, you thought Brett was going to jump on top of you.
Oh yeah,
and he hit Pierre, and he kind of overshot him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like he was going to break his fucking neck. We end over ended him. Real hot start.
Yeah, that was a nice, because he had to do kind of a somersault, sort of tuck and roll situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, good recovery.
We get a nice crucifix pin attempt. Meanwhile, Jerry the King talks about how much he hates the Hitman. Pierre gets some offense in, connects with three consecutive stomps to that lower abdominal area. Brett goes for a shoulder smash in the corner, misses and nails the post, then takes it again. JR confirms that Dean and Razor are on the superstar line on option 4. Pierre takes a big-ass backdrop over the top, lands on his feet. Pretty nice.
Pretty skilled guy.
Yeah. And throws Brett into the stairs, and Vince says that's it. He can't possibly get up. We got, we got Pierre in the co-main event here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's talented, man. The guy is talented. He just does way too many flying attacks.
Yeah. I like him too, man. He had a big spine buster, real nice. I wonder if he and Jacques are still in touch.
I would think they'd probably keep up with each other, right?
Quebecers Brotherhood? I would think so.
Yeah.
King screams that he wants to see that cannonball. He had a big sidewalk slam, goes upstairs. They're expecting the cannonball, but he drops a leg instead.
Bad decision.
Yeah.
He's in position. You got him there. You throw the cannonball. But he goes for the leg. It makes no fucking sense.
No. After that, he makes a grave gesture, and then he goes up for that cannonball, and he misses. Missed his chance. Hitman goes for the sharpshooter, and Lafitte's able to kick him out of the ring. And he goes for a somersault splash over the top to the outside, but misses.
Man, that's that patented Mero move. That's that Mero, you know. The old Johnny B.
Oh, the Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah.
Flippy guy.
Yeah.
Somersault plancha.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what he gets, man. That's Mero shit.
You think he's stealing, huh? Plagiarism?
Well, he clearly loves the flip. He throws a lot of flipping maneuvers.
Oh, it's his favorite.
Yeah. Why is that? Pirates weren't really acrobats, right?
I haven't studied much of the pirates, so
yeah, I suppose that's
didn't
good
tell you about their athletic prowess.
But we know that they were drunks, and I don't know a lot of drunks with high athletic prowess.
Oh, they got no fear, though.
Yeah, but they also have no, like, depth perception or balance.
That would explain why he missed his last couple of...
Good point. All right.
A couple of somersault launches.
Yep.
Man, Hitman goes for a flying fist, takes a boot to the face, not a nothing, but pretty close. Same result. But Pierre catches a crucifix attempt and does a flip over slam, which is real. I like the move, but he kind of botches it.
Kind of lands on his head. Yeah, when he's got up that fireman's carry.
Yeah.
And they kind of like that. I forget what Kennedy had a move that was like that where he delivered it. But yeah, he just walks with him fireman carry style and does a forward flip. But it does look like he DDTs himself. Almost like when you remember Scotty Steiner used to do that fucking, he'd like the fall away slam, but he'd do the backflip with him. And he just fucking give himself a concussion every goddamn time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we got Steiner, Mass.
It's getting a little sloppy Joe out there, but pretty good matchup. A lot of back and forth. Lafitte almost gets the three, but Hitman gets his foot on the bottom rope. Brett makes another comeback, goes for a flying man, and misses, nailing the ropes. And Lafitte goes for a big splash and misses. Double crossbody, and they're both down.
You thought that was a double crossbody?
Isn't that what that was?
Neither one of them really left their feet. It was like they both stood there. They went for like an aggressive hug, and they both just took a back bump.
Just kind of ran into each other.
Right. Yeah. But I will say that from there, you know, Brett locks in the sharpshooter from both of them being down, which is nice. Like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see him locking in the sharpshooter from a double down, which was a real nice touch. That part of it I enjoyed. Also, Brett flying into the ropes is fucking hilarious. made me laugh really hard. I wish the pirate would fucking stop with all the giant flips. Too many.
It's a bit excessive.
It's excessive, man. He's not a cruiserweight. He's not like, and like the conversion rate, the success rate on these, he's got to be getting what, like 35% tops?
Yeah, I mean, he hit his first big aerial move, but he missed his last three at least.
Right.
So pretty low percentage.
Yeah. So you got to rethink your offense at that point.
I mean, he's got a pretty decent arsenal, but
he really wants
that cannonball, man.
Can it be that decent if he's not? You just said he nailed one out of four. That's 25%.
You're right.
So it can't be that decent if he's only hitting 25%.
Well, he's facing the Hitman.
Okay, so you think that has something to do with it?
I think that curves things a little bit. I think, you know, he probably gets better than 50% on, you know, we're going Steiner math here on a regular guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what I think curved things for Brett?
Huh.
When he hit those ropes, because I'm pretty sure he racked his nads on the second rope. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's always fun watching Brett. You know, takes a great beating, dishes out. Best there is, was, and ever will be.
Yeah. I mean,
so Hitman gets the win, and he gets his jacket back. Lawler's upset about that, but we're told that Brett's mom made him that jacket, so it's very special.
Yeah, you know what's disappointing to me?
Huh.
So far, we've seen Brett every pay-per-view, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Faced Jerry the King's Dentist.
Yeah, Bobby B at the first one.
Bobby B. The Koosh.
The Koosh.
The King.
Jerry the King. And then Yankum. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the two dudes with attitudes
coming
are
up next
in the main event, because they're going to be four Jeffs, two Jeffs and four strips. Fuck you, man.
Like, that's a pretty good yuppie daddy. There.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. But it's just like, if why? Why are you holding up all the titles for fucking two chaps, right? Why are you doing that? And meanwhile, you're throwing fucking a pirate and a dentist and a flying bear and the king. Like, that's what you give him, Brett. I mean, Bobby, sure, right? Bobby's great. I get that. But they're just, it's like month to month, they're giving like these short little feuds to just keep Brett occupied because the two chaps are running the show right now. That fucking pisses me off. And if I was there at the time, it would have pissed me off too. You know, maybe Dino Machino was right. Maybe he should have been pissed off.
I like the Hakushi match.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
all his matches are pretty good, but I know what you
mean. I like Hakushi,
kinda,
man.
Kind of stuck until he gets a title shot.
And that kind of sucks, too, because that might tell you something about Brett. Like, the fans love him. But is he supposed to be making the dentist something? You know what I mean? Like, is he supposed to be making the pirate something? Is he supposed to be making the Koosh something? And don't get me wrong, the Koosh
is probably
great,
his job, yeah.
Yeah. But he's these guys didn't go on to much, did they? I mean, with the exception of the pirate, he had a big career later on.
Well, so did the dentist.
Well, good point, but it was later on.
Flying Bear is still at it.
Well, Flying Bear is great, but I'm talking about in the Federation at this time.
No, this is about as high up as we got to see the pirate.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't think the dentist lasts too long. Because after our current season wraps up, then
he becomes one of the chaps.
Oh, yeah. We got the Hall of Nash going over to the other team. But yeah, we got the two chaps looking to have all the straps here. I mean, okay, it's a once in a only time this has happened kind of a deal, but it is kind of lame having them all clogged up in the all the titles clogged up in the main event.
It sucks, man. It's okay. You can say it.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Sucks.
Especially with the Fallout, which we'll get to next time.
Yeah.
But here's a sneak preview of the Fallout, because the two dudes with attitudes won the tag team titles about a year ago, and then they just forfeited them the next day. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but there's a good likelihood that's what's going to happen. So we get Doc in the back, and it looks like Bulldog is stepping up to the plate in the triple header here.
Well, it's like Corny says. Sometimes the hardest answer to find is right underneath your nose or something like that. I forget what it is.
Yeah, he's one of his guys, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Monsoon sanctions it, and we got Yoke and the Bulldog, tag team champions for one night only. Yoke's got a big white robe on, looking huge. Vince gets on the host PA and introduces Alundra Blaze.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking pumped about this, too.
Somebody's knocking at the door. Who could it be? Ah, it's Alundra Blaze.
And she comes, fucking bad, man. It sucks. She comes out and she's like, look at me. I'm wearing a t-shirt. Check out the event shirt. You can buy the event shirt. And if you buy the event shirt, you can get another one of those secret VHS tapes.
Only $20.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad deal. It's not a bad deal. I mean, let me ask you this. If the door is a knock and Alundra comes strutting in, you letting her in?
Yeah, I let her in.
Yeah, you think she's letting you in?
I'll let her pin me to the mat. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, all right. Interesting. You gonna kiss that beef's tongue?
We'll see. We'll see how it goes, man.
We will see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And the best part is... Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh,
by
man.
All means. No, okay. Man, please, please.
I was going to say she takes off her shirt. Oh, yeah. Throws it out in the crowd.
Yeah, she takes off her shirt. Oh, yeah, to expose she's wearing another t-shirt. Oh, yeah.
I got my hopes up there.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you have your hopes and other things. But and then she walks out the front, she walks back in the house. And then Vince is like, and here comes Yokozuna out the back door. Or in through the back door, out where he puts it.
It came out through the garage.
Yeah, and right away, I think it was King that corrects him. He's like, it's the garage. Does Vince not know the difference between a regular house's door or a garage door?
I don't think so, no.
Do you think his limo driver just drives inside the house and he gets out and he's in the garage?
I mean,
how did I get here?
Essentially, it's a large door, right?
A garage door?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's different than a back door to a house.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I like that they come out the garage door, though. You know, I mean, obviously, Yoke ain't.
I was going to say, Yoke's fat ass ain't coming through the front door.
That's got to be tough being 600 plus.
Are you feeling sorry for him?
Oh, shit, man. I mean, just getting through the door. This man can't get through a door.
He did it
through the garage.
He did it to himself.
Oh, sure, but.
Wait a second. Wait, you're not feeling sorry for this fat tub of shit who got this way because he couldn't put down the ring dings?
Oh, man, everybody should be able to walk through a door, right?
Yeah, you're right. But it's not like he was born like this.
Well, there's something to be said for that, though. Because I have a feeling no matter how much I eat, I could never be a yoke weight.
You could be.
You think so?
Yeah. Huh? But remember, you're not supposed to try. You're not supposed to compete to be the biggest tub of shit. You don't want to.
Right.
You don't want to birth a fae yourself.
Yeah, we made that call early on in the season.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into that contest.
No, stay out of that contest.
But I'm saying some of it has to be hereditary, right?
Well, sure. There's some type of, like, there's you know, hereditary whatever it is with the fucking metabolism and shit. But at the same time, like, overcome it. Work harder. Don't eat 7 packs of Nutty Buddies, right?
Yeah, just one is fine.
Right.
Moderation.
Yeah.
Right. Nevertheless, I do like that, you know, they use the garage. They got creative with it. And we hear Jimmy Hart screams of pleasure, and out comes the IC champion, Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I'm really never going to hear that song the same.
Since I told it was Jimmy at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome.
And we get the big honk, and out comes Big Daddy. You got a hometown show here for Big Daddy from Detroit, just down the road.
Oh, he's a lumber king, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's got the two dudes with attitudes gear.
Looks like shit.
We get the classic tag pose and some fireworks, and we're off. So the dudes do the rock, paper, scissors. What do you think of that?
I was kind of like that. I was always kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a fair way. To
see who goes first.
Yeah. So Diesel wins, and he's starting off with the Bulldog. Michaels yells something at the announce team. Probably just being an ass.
Probably.
He had a big clothesline that sends Bulldog to the outside while Shawn goes for the ride. Skins the cat. And then Yoke gets in there. He's disposed of by Big Daddy. And then Heartbreak mocks Yoke because Vince says he has to. What's Vince talking about?
No fucking clue. You talk about when they go into that sumo pose?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to mock him.
Because he has to.
No. You don't have to mock Yoke. All right. I'm sure he's sad every time he looks in the mirror because what he's done to himself and what he's become. But he can't stop. And then here's HBK. Look, I could be a sumo too.
And Vince just cheering him on.
Yeah. Unacceptable behavior.
So Big Daddy gets back in there, exchanges clotheslines with Yoke before giving him a big boot and sending him to the outside. That Bulldog goes in there for a big vertical suplex, but doesn't get it the first time. And then he gets it the second time. You think that was a botch there? You think he meant to get him the first time? Or you think it was like adding suspense?
I guess a botch.
Yeah.
I think it was a pretty obvious botch, yeah.
Bulldog's a notorious botcher, so.
Which is weird, because you don't really think of him botching a lot.
He's got some classic botches.
He's got some all-time botches, but like when you think Bulldog, you don't necessarily think, you know, botch.
Right, it's because he only has like 4 or 5 moves, and he seems to execute those pretty well most of the time.
Generally, yeah, he usually does. Pow slam!
He goes for that power slam.
Slam.
He is denied, takes some corner punishment from the champion. HBK gets the tag and goes on to Big Daddy's shoulders, does a big splash.
That's a dumb move.
Gives him a little extra, man.
He doesn't get higher than when he goes off the top rope, though.
Oh, it's got to be about a foot.
No, but he doesn't actually get more. Like, when he jumps off the top rope, he gets that spring action. He actually gets higher in the air before coming down than when he does. When he just jumps off Big Daddy, he's just almost like he tries to jump. There's no spring. There's no elevation.
What if, like, Big Daddy, like, bended his knees and, like, catapulted him up? Would that work?
Well, you'd like Big Daddy bending his knees, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of dumb, but looked cool. I know what you're saying. When the ropes do the bouncy thing, so you can get some more air than just being on a stationary Big Daddy. But the Bulldog ain't quite done yet as he catches the boy toy with a big gorilla press slam, dropping a ball bag first onto the ropes. Get Yoke in there, throws Michaels into the corner. He does the flip spot, tumbling to the outside. And back in the ring, HBK takes one of those huge back body drops. And we're reminded that the Dudes with Attitudes never lost the tag team titles. They just gave them up because they got into a fight. At this point in time, I'm pretty sure Michaels has, like, accidentally super kicked Big Daddy like a half dozen times.
Yeah.
But now, because HBK has got to be a good guy, they're buddies again.
Right, of course.
What's Diesel getting out of this relationship? A kick in the face, right? Periodically.
Yeah, periodically, I suppose. That's all he's really getting, isn't he? Maybe he feels a certain level of debt.
No, because Michaels brought him to the dance.
Right.
That could be.
Right.
That could be. Because, yeah, they beat the Head Shrinkers for the gold back about a year prior, and then, you know, HBK super kicked him at Survivor Series. And
I don't know, I remember.
That was that.
Threw the belt down, got in the car, and drove away.
Yeah. Back in the ring here, Yoke goes for a bonsai drop and misses. So we get some hot tags to the Dog and Big Daddy. A melee breaks out with all four guys in there, and the Dudes throw Smith into Yoke, who in turn falls on the Bulldog.
That was great. They whip fucking Davey into the corner where Yoke is standing, and Davey for some reason flips into Yoke. It didn't make much sense. He just, out of nowhere, just decides that at a certain point he's going to do a flip.
Yep.
And then Yoke just falls on top of him.
Yeah, I like that. He got a big boot by Diesel, and he signals for the jackknife, but Yoke ain't going to let that happen. It's a Samoan drop. Nice to actually see him throw something.
Yeah.
But then he gets kicked out of the ring by Sean. And then Owen Hart comes out, goes for a nothing from the top. Diesel hits the jackknife and pins Owen, who is not a competitor in the match.
Bullshit.
What are you doing?
Bullshit, man. I call bullshit on this finish.
I feel cheated, right, if I'm buying a ticket?
Well, I was saying, here's the thing, right? You get Bulldog, you know, Davey gets into that main event, so they can kind of get Davey a little push here, right? And then Yoke is just kind of a bystander, right? It's just a foregone conclusion. He's going to be there somewhere. And then Owen shows up, and he's not in the match, and then they pin him. So Owen wasn't in the match, but that they lose the titles. He is a tag team champ. Like, the whole thing is a little bit, it's a little shitty.
And kind of the worst part of this is JR explains this, that this is not like, this shouldn't stand because he's not in the match, right? You know. But Vince doesn't care.
No. Match is over. New tag team champions.
Yeah, we got the two Dudes with Attitudes. Now they're two-time tag team champions. And we get a recap with that R&B in your house theme, and that's it for this one.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say about this event itself. Probably the biggest disappointment of the In Your Houses. That being said, better than the other ones. So if we were looking at just In Your Houses, Not the best in your house. But still, I put it ahead like WrestleMania 11 and the SummerSlam.
So it's probably third out of six.
Probably three out of six, yeah.
Like middle of the pack. Yeah. there was a lot of good action.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad show, but the dark matches after. We got a couple of newcomers in action.
What were the dark matches after?
We had Goldust defeating Sparky Plug.
Okay, that would have been good.
And then we got Ahmed Johnson, another newcomer, defeated Skip.
Boy, so we're pretty close to having Ahmed on the regular rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And then Taker defeated Mabel in the final.
Ah, nobody gives a shit. Everybody saw that. Nobody gives a shit about that. Yeah. So. Unless it was another fucking outstanding Paul Bearer performance.
And who knows? It probably was.
Could have been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the star of the show last time.
Well, I got good news, though, brother. I got good news. Next show is also going to be And In Your House.
Hey, In Your House 4.
In Your House 4. Fatu making a difference. He's taking on Triple H.
All right.
Seems good.
Yeah. A couple of future Hall of Famers there.
The Kid and Razor taking on the Guns for the Tag Team Championship.
Ooh. Will we see that alliance broken once and for all, or are they going to keep it together, man?
Yeah, I hope they keep it together. I really hope they keep it together. This is one that I'm already hard for, just so you know. I got full chub. Just saying this match.
Good to know.
I got full chub. Marty Jannetty is taking on Goldie.
Oh, man, that's got to be a good one.
See, now you're full chub, too, which is great.
First taste of Goldie. He's my newcomer of the year. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just think, man. I think your newcomer of the year is going to be facing your top male performer of the year.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah.
That'll be a treat.
That'll be a spunk fest. King Mabel is taking on Yokozuna. That's a little strange, isn't it?
Battle of the big guys.
Huh. Yeah, but they're both heels.
That is a little strange.
A little strange, yeah.
Doesn't Yoke make a face turn at some point?
He does eventually, yeah.
Doesn't he get kicked out of Camp Cornette or something like that?
Yep, he does. He does. We'll get there.
All right. Sorry for jumping the gun, man.
No, it's I forgive you. All right. Dean's taking on Rita Ramon. A little rematch action.
Oh, man.
But this is for the IC Championship, so this is a little different, isn't it?
This is something that we forgot to cover on our preview show.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels loses his smile.
Oh, he loses his smile in between this event we just covered and the next event?
Yeah.
Oh, that dumb bitch.
And then we got, I think he comes out to relinquish it on this show, and then we got Razor taking on the Duggler.
Fuck him. In the main event, we got Diesel, who is now just one chap with one strap.
Yep.
And he's taking on the British Bulldog for the old gold.
All right. I heard that Vince let him have it.
I've heard Vince has let a lot of people have it. What are you telling me?
I don't think Vince was very pleased with this one, so.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to watch it and fucking fall in love with it.
In Your House, man, it's been kind of a, dare I say, a revelation.
It's been a really nice surprise.
Yeah, they have been better than the big shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really been great. And you know what part of that is, too, I think? They're easy watches, man. They're easy to digest. Right. Yeah, it's just good, wholesome WWF action. Oh, man, speaking of good, wholesome WWF action, I forgot to mention this. When Bret Hart wins, Vince goes, apple pie in the World Wrestling Federation. Man, I forgot I wanted to mention that because it fucked me up when I heard him say it.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about something American is apple pie and
apple pie in the world Federation.
Oh man, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a fan of these in your houses.
Yeah,
and this one's up in Canada, so we'll see how it goes. After that, we got the Survivor Series, and then gonna have 1996, man.
You know what's weird is this one's up in Canada. I did not say Bret Hart's name on the card.
Oh shit! Is he not wrestling?
That's fucked up.
Is Owen Hart not wrestling?
Yeah, it's fucked up, isn't it?
Well, what the hell are they doing up in Canada for?
No, what the fuck? No fucking idea.
Huh. That is strange.
Yeah.
Huh.
And he's mad at everybody else. Meanwhile, he's got two of the biggest Canadian heroes, and neither one of them's fighting.
He's got the Bulldog, though. I mean, that's Canada adjacent, right? They're ruled by the same monarch.
British Bulldog, not Canadian Bulldog.
Oh, no, but I mean, the Canadians got the queen on their money, so.
Is that on a loony?
It's, I think it's all part of the Commonwealth, right? Like Australia.
Okay.
Part of the British Commonwealth.
Interesting.
They're no longer ruled by a Great Britain. And we're recording this on Canada Day, actually. So, you know, happy independence to Canada.
Yeah, I like the name of your monies.
The loonies?
The loonies and toonies, yeah. It's pretty badass, man. It sounds cooler than dollars.
Can I have a couple dollars?
Can I have a couple dollars?
Oh, Pops, can I borrow a couple of dollars?
Doesn't sound nearly as good as, like, got a couple loonies laying around, right?
I like pounds, too. Pounds is pretty good.
Pops, I'd like to have some pounds.
Sound as a pound, mate.
Sound as a pound, mate. Can I have some loonies? That's not the least. That's a pound.
Pound is a pound. All right, well, that's about it for this one. I want to thank you for tuning in to In Your House Triple Header. Until next time, I'm Pete Dumpster Bags. Pull it out of there.
That's a good one. Slide one in there.
Oh, hey! Gotta slide one in there. I look like Monterey Jack.